G'day and welcome to the Breaking Through podcast. You guys really liked the Nick Kelly episode that I did and just having chats with people in industry. And I've been doing this stuff for a few years now and I meet people at gigs and work with people and have made friendships through that. And this is one of those friendships. We talk whenever a big event or topic comes up. It's we'll usually get a message and it's quite open. I was like, why don't we bring that to a podcast?
Yeah, so whenever a festival is canceled, you're one of the first people I message.
And that voice you hear is Tyson from Tiny Minds Agency. Few things that you've done for me. You put on our first event with Ruby Fields and Adam Newling. That was so cool. Good. And then just kind of having the knowledge to go, this is good, this is bad, don't do this, don't do that, which is always great for people that, you know, don't really know how it works. But if people, the Gold Coast people would know Tiny Minds Agency, but maybe Sydney or maybe Melbourne or Perth. So like in a very short, 30 seconds, because you guys dip your toes in a few things. You manage bands, you book bands, on a very boutique level.
Yeah, it's a bit of everything. I mean, the music industry, it requires you to be, you know, multi-talented with what you do. So, yeah, we're an events agency, we're a booking agency, we're a management company. We're pretty much everything in the music industry rolled into one. Or we're trying to be, or, yeah. Yeah, it's hard to explain, man. I can't do it in 30 seconds. There's just
That's good enough, though. I wasn't expecting a big one, otherwise people will tune out. Especially on the Gold Coast. I know we've had many chats about the Gold Coast music scene and how different it is to a lot of the other music scenes, how bands will do really well in other spots like Brisbane and then come down an hour and they won't sell out at all.
We might as well be different states with them because, there is just so much that goes off up in Brisbane, but they come to the Gold Coast and it's just, you know, it's crickets. I'd say the biggest difference between the two places is that Brisbane definitely has a more passionate music scene where the people that are going out and supporting the live events, they're fans of that music. You know, they love it. They show up in hordes. I think the Gold Coast is more good times. We want to party on the Gold Coast. And I think that's my main driving factor. I think a lot of the crowds that come out for shows here, they have a friend that plays in a band. You know, they went to school with them, stuff like that. It's very it is a bit of a bubble on the Gold Coast, but we love to party. So that's the good thing.
It's for me, it's especially when we go up to Big Sound and stuff, it's Brisbane's fuck yeah, I've got to go see that show. I've got to see this. I've got to do that. So-and-so's playing soon. Gold Coast is oh, is that this weekend? Yeah, I guess we can go. Yeah, why not? That sounds like a good way to spend a Saturday.
We could never do a Big Sound here. No one would go to shows. We'd all just be drinking in a park somewhere until the last band plays.
Yeah, oh, just have it at the casino or something. We'll just hit 40 tab or something just for cheap drinks. Now, a lot of the conversations I've had with you over the last couple of years, I've kind of brought to the podcast and my live streams and that type of stuff. And it's been really good to kind of get other people's perspectives and opinions. As someone that works on, you know, booking and managing that type of stuff, are you guys having those chats internally about shit, maybe we've got to start doing things differently or everything's crumbling around us? Maybe how it worked in, you know, 10 years ago, it's maybe not going to work these days?
Yeah. I mean, the music industry at the moment, we're in a really strange time where, you know, festivals getting cancelled, stuff like that. I'd say we've kind of remained fine through everything. Through COVID, we remained fine. Through this, the stuff that's going on now with the music industry, we've always remained okay. And I think that's because part of our whole branding of Tiny Minds is community. Mm. So whatever happens, we're always going to be supporting live local bands. We're always going to be looking for you know, the next big thing, stuff that's really cool. So we've always got the community to fall back on. And I think that's a sort of scene that can't really die. Obviously, the institutions like venues and stuff where these gigs happen, that stuff can go south there. But I think in terms of local music, I think it's pretty much universal that that'll always be around. There'll always be, you know, music and art. And that's kind of built into the foundation of us. So we've always kind of been okay. But yeah, we are, it's a lot less risk with us than I think a lot of these big dogs that are out there that are losing heaps of money at the moment. We're definitely in a different playing field, I think. But Yeah.
Like, you guys aren't doing the, you know, the national acts, the big national touring acts that are coming around, and you're not losing money on that. It's like focusing on smaller community stuff. Like, as you said, it's always going to be there. So it's a pretty safe bet. I want to touch wood because I don't know. Like, I thought Splendor was a sure thing 12, 18 months ago, and it is not.
Yes.
When like, you're booking and managing bands and whatnot, like, has your mindset towards that changed at all with what's happening?
For sure. I think ever since COVID kind of finished, we had a really nice moment during COVID just because there was nothing really happening where we were able to get big bands for a lot less than they usually charge, I'd say. We were able to work with Psycho and Betty Ray's during COVID and and a couple of other big bands because we were the only promoters still doing stuff while this was all happening because, you know, we had restrictions on live music and live music venues and all this stuff, but we always wanted to just have stuff on for people to go to. But I think now, I think what's happened since is the music industry in itself, everyone just started clamoring for more money. And whether that was because costs went up to get people from one place to another, all of a sudden we were looking at, whenever we'd ask a band to play, we were looking at costs, like the cost of the band being like in the tens of thousands, where I personally don't think the band could have pulled over 100 people. So we were stuck in a really tough position where we were getting these really good acts during these periods of time. And then when that finished and everything got back to normal and then like all this price gouging and cost of living started going up, all of a sudden everyone's rates started going up and we kind of looked around and we were just like, it's going to be tough to try and keep the momentum that we've built with our big staple shows. So yeah, we're kind of in a lull period at the moment because it's just one of those things. It's just risk. We can't risk a bad show. If we get wiped out with a lot of money, it might mean the end of us. So yeah, we are a bit cautious at the moment.
A lot of fingers are being pointed at each other at the moment to be like, oh, no, it's Festival's fault, or no, it's Punter's fault, it's Venue's fault, it's booking agents, it's artists, blah, blah, blah. We're not going to get anywhere by doing that, but who do you think, like, if they change one thing, it goes a long way? Is it, like, booking agents not asking for as much money? Is it artists going, okay, we can do this, but we're going to have to lower a bit if we, like, want to keep going to tours and stuff? Or do punters just have to put up with it?
It's a tricky one, man. There's a lot of pointing I want to do at certain people at the moment. I will say booking agents, they do, like, part of the business of being a booking agent is trying to get the most amount of money that you can get out of the person on the other end of your email. Mm. And it's kind of a gross thing to be a part of because, you know, like, I care about the music scene and Tiny Minds does. We care about what nightlife is and we care about, you know, people that love live music. And I feel like it's not reciprocated from a couple of agents. I think they do just want as much money as they can get from you and they don't really care about what happens if everything goes wrong. It's just another, you know, dollar in the bank. So that's one factor. I think the other factor, I mean, a lot of the festival cancellations, I think there's a big company that starts with an L that might be a bit responsible for how things are going at the moment. And let's just say it, Live Nation, I think is like got, I think they're mostly to blame for what's happening right now.
I think with festivals, obviously, and that's basically my next question anyway, but like, I want to stay on gigs and venues for a second because I've done a lot of videos recently. And the one that sticks out to me is like venues want people to, obviously venues are doing it really tough right now and that sucks.
Yeah.
And if we don't have venues, we don't have gigs. And if we don't have gigs, like, we only have festivals and then we're going to have to pay the millions of dollars to go see. But, like, there was an article that Double J put out, I believe, and it was like, we need you guys to come in, buy beers, come in for dinner, all this type of shit. But it's like, it's super expensive for drinks. It's super expensive for dinner, gig as well, Ubering there and home, like, or public transport or whatever. We can't afford that. As punters, like, we have to be way more selective with festivals and gigs, and that us being more selective hurts the industry, but we can't help that. So, like, as you know, you work with venues all the time on the coast and Brisbane and Sunshine Coast and whatever. What do you think they're going the, like, right way about it? Or do you see like maybe a missing piece in that where, you know, maybe the communication can be a little bit differently, or kind of if we switch the mindset a little bit, it can be not healed, but definitely helped?
I guess one thing that's never worked for me that a lot of venues and promoters do is what Double J are doing, going and pleading for help and being like, please come in and, you know, please support live music and please do this. It never sits right with me when corporations or whatever do that. I'm always of the mentality, if you've got something good on, people will come to it. If you've got a band on that's hype, people are going to come. And there's a thousand, you know, there's all these people going like live music is dying and all that, but there's all these bands that are selling out shows all around Australia all the time that's just proof that that's really not true. I think if you're good at events and you're good at like knowing what people want to come out for, you can survive in this industry. So yeah, that's like one thing that I don't really like about it. I'd say it all just comes down to working outside the box sometimes. I think live music venues have got to try different stuff than just being live music venues. You know, like there's this company that does DJ nights that are like emo nights or Taylor Swift nights or Lana Del Rey nights and stuff like that. Those events do really well. And it just goes to show that young people now, they like the music they like and they want to celebrate that music. And I think that's been a new thing in the industry that a lot of people maybe have missed seeing how that works, or like they're too old to really notice that. But I think we're in it's a strange time, but I think we are kind of in this period where people want to celebrate these bigger artists. You know, people just like the music that they like. And a lot of stuff is dying out. Did you watch Coachella over the weekend?
God, no.
No? You know,
I'm not a fan of this live streaming stuff. Like, I think if you pay for, like, you can have the shows up and shit after it, but I don't believe live streaming it's the way to go. I think like you're there for the experience. Like, I get a lot of people wouldn't have been able to get tickets, but like if you want to watch it, you can watch it a couple of days later.
Yeah, yeah. I always enjoy the Coachella weekends because it's just, I don't know, I just kind of have it playing on the TV in the background, and I'll watch new artists on there that, you know, I've never heard from before. But back to my point, there was Blur played, and there's a viral video going around at the moment with them trying to do a sing back to the crowd. I think it's like Girls and Boys they're singing, and he's going like, now you sing it. And then like the crowd weren't doing anything. We're in a transitional phase where these bands that were considered like massive, all of a sudden to the next generation, kind of useless and kind of like, you know, some bands, I'm going to even say with Splendor, Arcade Fire, I don't think the younger generation really cares about that anymore.
No.
And I think we're going to notice a lot of bands that we considered really big are just going to start dropping on lineups.
I don't feel like anyone, like the Coachella, Coachella audience, like they look tame as fuck. Like Australia, we like, if someone's like not almost throwing up in the mosh, like you're not having an incredible time by Australian standards. So I think a lot of people look at that and go, wow, you guys are tame. You guys aren't singing. You guys are just kind of just standing there. So like, I don't know if that's a great kind of way to look at it. For Australian audiences, for American audiences, you could be like, yep. But I feel like we're such a different bunch, and that's great, but also really shit at the same time. Festivals then, let's get into it. We have spoken at length about this, and like we talk about how good it used to be and that type of stuff, and we sound like super old, like back in my day, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I'm 26. I'm not old. Like, I'm fucking 26.
I always love you and Jazz talking because you're kind of like the old man of the two, being like, back in my day in 2018.
Yeah. And it's like, I was still in my teens then. It's like, Jazz is only 3 years younger than me. So it's like, but she goes, oh, yeah, really? Oh, okay. Yeah, all right, park up, Jazz. Now, I see the festival scene changing. I think at the start of this year, I might have spoken to you about it, how I was like, I'm just gonna say what I think, and that's about music scene, festival scene, everything. And it seems to be resonating with people because like they're the conversations I've had quietly with a lot of people that I'm saying out loud now. So like and I'm getting so much flack for it. And I feel like we didn't used to have these problems about being honest. Is the festival scene and the Australian music scene not being honest with themselves a big problem as to why this exists?
Yeah, I think so. I think the Splendor lineup this year especially, and Groove in the Moo, I think kind of presented people with like, these people that have all this money that are in charge really don't know how to spend it. And I think a lot of people started clicking onto that. And they were like, you know, you look at Splendor and you're, it was just very, what do I want to say? Not curated well. Everything seemed pretty random. It seemed like it was thrown together at the later stages, you know? And same with Groove in the Moo, where I agree with you guys, where you were talking about, where it was like, who's the headliner here? Who's the big get? Because I'm looking at this lineup, I'm kind of confused. I guess it's the Kooks, is it? Like, and then, yeah, everyone kind of had their different opinions. I think, and this is the thing, Live Nation has such a stranglehold on Australia at the moment that they're the king, they're the top. They're not competitive with anyone because there's no one that can come for them. So I think it's been a bit cocky on behalf of Live Nation to think that its audience wants what they've been putting out these last couple of years. Because, yeah, I mean, this is the proof this year is that, like, no, we actually don't want it. We don't want this. We want better lineups. We want stuff that we're hyped about. And I think that's what was really listening, because there is no competition with them. There's no one that can match them. No one can come around next year and be like, we're going to be the new Splendor. It's impossible these days.
Do you think, say, if cost of living wasn't a problem, right, and we still had that disposable income, are we going to Splendor this year? Are we going to Groovin' this year? Are they selling out?
Nah, not at all.
You reckon?
I don't think cost of living is to blame. I don't think that's anyone's reason. I don't think that's any punter's reason for not going to Splendor was the cost of living. I think it really is the lineup, to be honest with you. And like, yeah, I have really nothing else to say about that, except I think it's kind of, oh, we can blame it on this. A lot of people like to blame things on stuff. In COVID, people were canceling shows and then blaming COVID. And it was just like, no, you canceled it because you didn't sell enough tickets. Like, you know, excuses.
It's interesting because I get a lot of people telling me that I shouldn't be speaking on this because I don't know anything, because like, I'm not a booking agent or whatever. You do work in that industry. You do that shit. So when you see these comments of people going, oh, it's like, we just don't have the money, like it's cost of living, blah, blah. Does that frustrate you as a booking agent?
It does when it's on behalf of someone on the festival talking about the reasons why the festival is getting cancelled. But if it's coming from an actual person, I do get what they're saying. I do understand that everything is more expensive nowadays. And, you know, some people can't afford to go then. But I think there's proof out there with festivals like Not Fest or Good Things or Juicy Fest that like they can save money and people will, you know, do what they've got to do if they really want to go to a festival.
Yeah.
That mentality is the only way that you're going to sell tickets on the first day and get that first day worth of sales is people going, I can't miss this festival. And I think we've lost that lately.
I don't disagree at all. And we very much don't disagree, you know, all the time. Headliners, how important do you think they are to a festival? Because I don't think, apart from Laneway, I don't think we've had any kind of mainstream festival have any really good headliners recently.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing that can, you know, I hate to always bring it back to Live Nation, but because they've got so much money and such a stranglehold on the Australian music industry, they look at these big artists. So say you're Lana Del Rey or you're Doja Cat, which would have been a good fit for Splendor, you know? They seem like normal Splendor headliners. We usually share a lot with Coachella. They look at that and they go, okay, well, we could put Lana Del Rey on at Splendor for the Friday night, or we could do two nights at the Brisbane Entertainment Centre and charge basically the same amount of tickets to their fans. So they look at those options and go like, obviously we're going to do this one where we get more money. I think with, you know, festivals now is I think it's more like, especially with Future. I mean, Future kind of got bigger since the you know, Splendor got cancelled. It was a weird one. Kylie and Arcade Fire, though, I feel like those bookings were kind of like, I'm sure they thought Kylie was special. I definitely think they thought Kylie was going to get a better reception than they did. But unfortunately, Splendor's crowd's very young, and Kylie fans don't go to Splendor anymore if they ever did. You know, I think even Splendor might have missed the Kylie era completely. So yeah, it was just a bit weird, but I think they try and go for now stuff that like is more a whole lineup in itself. We're looking at the lineup as a whole instead of just the headliners.
It didn't flow well in my eyes.
It didn't.
And that kind of goes back to what was it? Creative Australia put out all those results, and it was like 25% of festivals last year were electronic. People are calling for just single genre festivals. Do you think that's the way forward? I don't
want that to be the way forward, but I think for the time being, it's what's going to start happening most. You know, backlash kills festivals. Mm. I think if people weren't so hard on Splendor or Groove and the Moo online, there might be a possibility that they might have stuck it out if they were getting more positive feedback and been like, let's keep it going. But because the feedback was so bad, it was basically like, we're dead in the water. People are laughing at us, kind of like it's over. But you notice with these festivals that do stick to one genre, like Knotfest, which was all metal, or Juicy Festival, that's all like old hip hop acts. No one that likes indie music is commenting on Juicy Festival's poster going, that's a shit lineup, because they don't care. It has nothing to do with them. No one's, you know, no rock metalheads are commenting on Ultra Festival's lineup and going, what a shit lineup, because they don't care. It doesn't. So the way to combat backlash is to keep into one genre and one group of people and going, this is for you. And we don't care about any of these people. This is just for you. So I think festivals, I think they're going to, you know, Laneway, I can still see being a sort of like multi-genre sort of thing, because Laneway's thing is like new, what's coming next. Mm. Who's the next big thing, you know? But festivals like Splendor, I don't know if you can go that multi-genre anymore. I think you're trying to please everyone, but you please no one in the process.
I feel like that's what the recent Splendor did. It went too broad. And Laneway is a great example, and I use it all the time, of getting headliners moderately right, the openers, you know, pretty right, like getting Vacations over, like they're huge overseas. Yes. Like just really good picks throughout, where Splendor used to be really good at that and just weren't the last couple of years. So like I think single genre festivals will definitely play a part in the future. But I still think those multi-genre festivals, when, you know, when things kick back off again, like they're our bread and butter. That's where everyone goes. And if we lose that, we're in trouble.
I mean, what's happened with Splendor has happened before with Big Day Out. Big Day Out used to be the big dog, you know? That was the multi-genre festival that everyone always looked forward to. So, you know, we're repeating ourselves again. But the good thing is, like, the pendulum always swings the other way. Eventually there will be another festival that comes around that'll do multi-genre very well, and we'll all be back on board. It's just these periods that happens where a lot of little stuff will turn up. But, you know, if after Big Day Out, there was like 20 festivals, I think, like started getting introduced when that went down. Like it just opened the floodgates. And then like every festival, no matter how big it was, you had Soundwave, you had Good Vibes, you had Future. They all ended up dying. So it's just a circle, man. We're just in a cycle now. Someone else will be the king of festivals tomorrow, and it'll just all keep moving.
What do we need to do as an industry? And this could be punters, this could be festival organizers, this could be, you know, everyone. What do we need to do to kind of move in a positive direction to help heal this fucking shit fire we're dealing with at the moment?
Man, it's a hard one. You know, I think I think the ticket price is like a first one that just needs to come down. And I think we need to regulate, you know, how much venues are taking off the top, how much suppliers are charging to put on stuff, because there has been some foul play in that area. So I think if we make shows more affordable, that's one step. I think also just getting back to curating really good lineups and stuff that people really like, because there's always going to be popular music out there. It's just finding the right bands, it's finding the right vibe, and knowing your audience wherever you are, you know. And being from the Gold Coast, me and you know that this is the trickiest. I'd say that this is the trickiest area, probably in Australia, to try and like, because there's so many people here, but so little of them are actually coming out.
Or like they're focusing on, like, I wouldn't say music and going to gigs, although we have such a huge landscape for it. We got some really sick venues, but fuck, they're hard to tell what they like. So basically, you just repeated basically what I've said for the past couple months, how it's like people like, it's not just lineups. I'm not saying that. That's a fucking huge factor. Get your bang for your buck picks for your lineup. Yeah. That can be some of your openers, that can be some of your mid, that can be, you know, maybe some, you know, so you have more money to spend on your headliners, but get those fucking headliners right. So, yeah. You know, like, fuck, I know it's hard to do, and I'm just sitting here and saying it. I'm not saying it's easy, but fuck, it needs to be done. And it's like, oh, it annoys me so much when people are like, no, you're just saying that because you're a punter. No, I just want things to succeed.
Yeah, it is like, yeah, no, I totally agree. It's hard, but there's a way to do it. There's a way to do it.
Next 12 to 18 months, what do you see happening to the Aussie music scene?
Okay, so I've called this, and I don't, you know, I don't want to say anything too negative, but I think Triple J at the moment has a bit of a stink on it from these festival cancellations as well. So like my prediction is, you know, we've had Splendor go down, we've had these festivals go down. I think Triple J is the next kind of entity to kind of get shots fired at it. Just by how much negativity surrounds the brand. If you look at any Triple J posts in the comments, everyone's negative in there. They all hate it there. I don't understand it. And I think it's because Triple J has spent a lot of years pushing the wrong bands on us, and I think everyone's pretty upset at that. And I think they tried to backtrack like last year, because obviously Australia fell in love with surf rock again, and we had all these bands kind of under the radar start selling out shows everywhere that they weren't getting played on Triple J. I think there was a time where like the Terries weren't getting played, and like, but they were still selling out venues, and like Peachville were bringing massive crowds in everywhere, and you know, heaps of bands like that. And then Triple J backtracked and then started playing all that stuff. And I think it was too late for a lot of people, because they were like, well, I've known about this band for like 2-3 years now. Why are you guys just playing it now? It's already big, you know? And I just think the crowd behind Triple J is pretty negative. They're pretty neg. So I think like anything to do with Triple J festivals are going to be met with a lot of backlash and negativity, like I said, and I think they're going to have a bit of a stink on them.
I've shot a lot of critical shots at Triple J, but like I've got to call them out for good shit as well. But like the whole, like now they've gone very pop and very like not focus on as much on Australian music. The Beyonce thing fucked me off. Tate McRae fucks me off with how much play she gets, like all that type of shit that fucks me off. But it's like, that's so true. I was having like so many, I still think I'm ahead of them, to be fair. Like I was years ahead of Triple J with bands like Dice, Old Mervs, like those type of bands. Like I had them on, you know, years before they got their, you know, Triple J play. Well, not years, but you know, I was a good ahead of the curve. And then when they got like a version, like they had, there was like a month where I had every act on maybe 18 months before that. So like it's kind of good for me that people are being negative on them, but like they're so important to us as a national broadcaster. So like if them doing well, that usually means Australian music's doing really well, so we do need them. But fuck yeah, I agree, big stink on them at the moment, and I get that all through my comments. and like just being critical and open dialogue. That's what I say all the time. Tyson from Tiny Minds Agency. I'll see you at a gig or a festival or some shit. I'm sure I'll see you soon. But thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Ben. I love the podcast, dude. You and Jazz's talk. Like, I listen to you guys to get my ear to the ground, kind of what people want, what young people want, and what music they like. So thank you for, you know, doing this podcast, man. It's helped me out a lot as well.
To keep up to date with all things Breaking Through, make sure to check out our socials.